Yeah, so I thought rather than me speaking today, we could just do question and answer. So maybe you will have some questions. Sometimes we have questions about philosophy, or you may have questions about practicing spiritual life. Sometimes you may have questions about the movement. One person came to me and said, "I don't like organized religion." I said, "You love us, we're completely disorganized." But still, sometimes you may have some questions about ISKCON, about the movement, why things are in a certain way. So we can also talk that. And anything. So I don't think we need so much formality. Over to you if anyone has a question. And if there's no question, then there's prashada. Anyone want to begin us? I'm sure you do have questions. Someone just has to break the ice.
Can I ask you first?
Okay, Sumedh, tell us.
So Maharaj, would you like to explain a little bit about what actually you do
as a monk?
As a monk or as a sannyasi? What actually you do with your time as a sannyasi?
I guess from brahmachari life to being a sannyasi, it doesn't change that much. What do we do? What is a typical day like? Always the day begins early. So if I didn't have a late night and I got to bed at the time I want to get to bed at, then we try to get up before Mangalarti. Mangalarti is at 4:30. So those hours of the morning are golden hours. They're the most valuable hours of the day. So then maybe rising at 3:30. And then often the way I start my day is by doing 1 hour of study of the scriptures. And I find at that time I can go deepest into the wisdom when everything else is quiet. And then at 4:30, well, you know, we did it this morning. We have a whole morning program. We chant. And then, what is the job of a monk? Different monks have different jobs or different services that they do. We have a goshala, we have teaching, we have book distribution. But for me, I guess my life became centered around trying to make wisdom relevant for people. My goal of life is to try and present wisdom that breathes. In other words, not just wisdom that's words or philosophy, but wisdom that's alive, wisdom that changes the way you look at life, wisdom that changes the way you live your life, and wisdom that can give you answers to the questions of life in a very real way. Wisdom which changes the way you think. Einstein said you can't solve problems with the same type of thinking that created them. So we look at our lives and we find like, my life is in a mess. And then we try and sort out that mess with the same type of thinking. That ain't gonna work. We look at the world, it's in a mess, environmentally, economically, socially. And then we try and solve those problems with the same type of thinking that created it. So Einstein, he was a smart guy. Think different. Think out of the box. Think in a different way. So that's what we try to do. So whether it's writing books or giving lectures or meeting people on the street, it's all about giving wisdom that breathes. And so that's what we try and do from morning to evening. And not just giving wisdom that breathes, trying to live that wisdom yourself. Because otherwise, if you don't live it, you can't give it. You can't really give it. Because people will look at you and say, but are you doing it? Are you living it? Do you really believe this? If you're standing out on Market Street and you give someone a book and it says, chant and be happy, and you tell them, take the book, chant and be happy, but you look like a miserable misery. Say like, you're not doing much to sell it to me, you know. you don't look very happy. So you have to live it. So as a monk, you have to live it, you have to breathe it, and then you have to try and share it. And when you share it, you have to try and share it out of compassion. Not because you want to be better than someone else, or not because you want to prove that you're more intelligent. Once I met someone on the street and we got into a debate. And what can I say? In the most humble way possible, I defeated all his arguments. I did, what can I say? But at the end of it, you know what? He said, "You defeated me." So I said, "Okay, here you go." He goes, "I don't want the books." But I said, "But I defeated you. You even agreed. I answered all your questions." He said, "Yeah, you did. But you had ego. So I didn't want it. I don't want to take the books from you." So that was like, oh God. And I said, "No, I'm a nice guy." No, you have ego. Therefore, I don't want to take it from you. And then, "I don't want the books," he said. And then 1 hour later, he was walking up the street and he had a pile of all the books. And he walked right past me and said, "Whoa, where are you going?" I said, "I thought you said you didn't want the books." He said, no, "The philosophy is good. But I got the books from that guy over there." He was a nice guy, you know. So that was it was a very humbling experience. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You have a heart for it. So that's what we try to do, and that's how my life is going on. So I'm trying not to be arrogant or full of ego, but trying to humbly share something with people that's made my own life better. And it's an amazing life, actually. Just the life of trying to share spiritual knowledge with people, it's the best job in the world. We have vacancies. If anyone wants to join. It's a great honor. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers. If you have something more, are you looking for something more specific?
No, I was just, because sometimes people think like, because you've taken a life of dedicating your life.
Sit around all day and pray.
So
we do pray also. But Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to be active. And try to go out and make the world a better place. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, the temples are not just places for eating and sleeping. We also eat in the temple, and so we also sleep. I also slept in the temple last night. But they're not just meant for that. The temple's meant to be a place from which we get inspired, so that we then go out into the world and really try to make the world a better place. Because the world needs some people who are going to make it a little better. So yeah, it's an active life. Yes.
So,
we'll take a question from the youngest member of our
team. So the youth, you know, they're busy with their studies and art and work sometimes, and their assessments and assignments. So how would you help advice to get them
maybe
a practical way of organization, so that they can spend more time in reading?
Yes, time management. We could give you a time management seminar here. The time matrix, you know, the time matrix.
We did one here recently.
Oh, you did it, yeah? Important, urgent. What's the other one?
No, it's important and urgent, and then not important.
Oh, okay, yeah. So there's ways to manage your time. I won't give you a time seminar on time management, but I'll say two things. The first thing is, get up early in the morning. Get up early in the morning. If you do that, everything will go well. That's a very key element of time management. If you start the day in the strongest way possible, you'll fit so many things into the day. That's one thing I would say. The other thing I would say is, don't waste time. Have you noticed how in the world there's so many time wasters today? so many things that waste your time. How much screen time? This thing comes up on my phone every week about how your screen time is up by 33%. And I'm like, oh man, that's not good news. Right, how much time wasting on different things, unnecessarily checking your phone notifications. So try not to waste time. That's another thing. But here's the other thing I'll tell you. I'll not tell you, but I'll share with you in the most humble way. Is, you know, sometimes we think this is one part of my life and this is another part of my life, and they're completely separate. But shall I tell you, if you do your Krishna consciousness well, you'll actually become 10 times more effective in everything you do in the world, because your mind will be more focused. Your relationships will be better. Everything will improve. A man was cutting a tree, and in the first day he cut 19 trees. And he was thinking, I want to please my boss even more. Next day he was working even harder and he only managed 16 trees. He's thinking, I'm working harder, but I'm cutting less trees. Next day he did 11, working even harder, sweating like anything. And then one man came and stopped and he said, have you taken time to sharpen your saw? He goes, what are you talking about? I got work to do. I can't take time out to sharpen. I mean, he said, if you don't sharpen your saw, you can work harder and harder and harder, but you'll become less and less and less effective. So when you do sadhana or spiritual practice, you'll become better at your studies. You'll become better at everything you do in life. It's not that it's going to take away from things. It's going to empower you. So that's another thing I would say, that don't see them as separate. By doing one, you'll become better at the other. Some thoughts. But we could go into that. It's a deep topic. But those are some things I'll say. You can fit it all in. I don't think there's one person in the room that can say they don't waste time. Is there? Is there one person in the room who says, do you waste any time?
I sometimes do waste time.
sometimes. Thank you for being honest. Yeah, we all waste time. So don't waste time. The greatest people in the world, you see, there were Einstein. You know how many hours he slept every day? 2 hours. 2 or 3 hours. Srila Prabhupada, you know how many hours he slept every day? Not six, not less. 3 hours. 3-4 hours. Of course, not that tomorrow you start trying to sleep 3 hours. That won't work. But gradually, you'll become so inspired about life. You know why they could sleep so less? Because they were inspired about life. You know, when someone's not inspired about life, they tend to sleep more. You know the best alarm clock in the world?
Inspiration.
Purpose. Yeah, that's good. Close. One devotee once said to me, purpose is the best alarm clock in the world. Because when your eyes open in the morning, if you have purpose, if you have a reason for living, if you have something you want to do for the world that's captured your imagination, ain't no one going to have to come and drag you out of bed. You're going to jump out of bed. Because you're going to think, why would I waste time? So much to do.
In other words, how could you manage to, while doing all the services, how could you manage to study and write the books about them? How did you organize your time?
Well, I think you're doing it. You've got 2 kids, you're a mother. you've got two kids, you're a mother, and then you cook, and then you chant your 16 rounds, and then you do so much service, and then you're such an inspired devotee. So I don't think I'm anything greater than you. You're doing it more than me. Who agrees? See, they all agree. You're already doing it. I'm fortunate. I don't have any responsibilities. I don't have any kids. I don't have any social obligations. So Krishna knew I would not be very good at balancing my time between different things. So Krishna said, Hare Krishna, you just keep it simple. You just do this. So I'm fortunate like that. I'm fortunate Krishna gives me the opportunity once a year to go to Vrindavan and just switch off from everything. And that's the time when I usually write. Disconnect from the world a little bit. If you wanna, yeah. So 1 month a year I disconnect from the world. Disconnect from this. Disconnect from email. And just study. And it's very nice. So anyway, you have to find your way to do it. But you're doing it. You're empowered.
But when we look at the time, either in this car or at home, most of the time goes in the kitchen.
You eat too much.
Well, if you're cooking for the devotees, that's a good thing, right?
Not my person, but just
manpower. Yeah, no, it's amazing how much. That's why I'm saying we live such a fortune life. Like, it's just there. Prasadam's just there. All you have to do is come and eat. That's it. That's our life, you know. We're so fortunate. But when you live in a house, you realize you have to cook it, you have to buy it first, then you have to clean it, cook it, offer it. Okay, let's do a quick offering. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu.
No time.
It's so much, it's a long process. But it's nice to also cook for Krishna, cook for the devotees. Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasada Swadana Triptam Hari Bhakta. When we see the Hari Bhaktas, the devotees of Krishna, eating prasadam very nicely, we become very happy. Maybe you'll go back to Godhead just by cooking for the devotees. Yeah, why not? Prasadam is the best part of the program. I don't care what anyone says. Anyone can say anything. The lecture was great, the kirtan. Prasadam. That's what everyone is waiting for, really. So, but yes, we must try and simplify. Many elaborate arrangements. Shall I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Once I was in Vrindavan, and it was the night before I was leaving. So usually it's a night flight out. So I was up at 10 o'clock in my room, and okay, maybe I won't tell this story, because if I tell this story, it's a long story, and I don't want to.
No,
it's a long story, and then because then we don't have so much time. I'll tell you a story another day. It's a long story. It's a nice story.
It's a really good teaser.
It's about cooking prasadam for the devotees. I'll tell you another time. Yeah, some other question?
The scriptures say like Krishna is unconquerable, but then they say that Krishna is conquered by devotees. So how does that make Krishna unconquerable?
One time Mother Yamuna came to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Me and Madhu Dvisa, we're having an argument." His argument is that Krishna and Balaram are the same. Just that their complexion is different, but they are the same. They are the one supreme God. They're the same. And my argument is that Krishna and Balaram are different, because they have a different Rasa Leela. They have different gopis that they dance with. So Yamuna, Mother Yamuna came to Prabhupada and said, "He's saying the same, I'm saying different." So Prabhupada, so she said, "Is he right?" Prabhupada said, "He is right." Then she said, "But I thought I was right." Prabhupada said, "You are also right." And then she said, "But that means me and him say different things and we're both right?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's right." Because in spiritual life, there are many dimensions to things. So yes, Krishna is unconquerable. Can anyone defeat Krishna? Can anyone be stronger than Krishna? Can anyone defeat Krishna in an argument? No. At the same time, Krishna becomes conquered by love. He says to the gopis, "Napadayeham niravadya samyujam," "I cannot repay you." The gopis make Krishna contradict his own words. Because what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? "Ye yatha mam prapadyante," "As you surrender unto me, I'll reward you accordingly." But the gopis, they love Krishna so much, Krishna said, "I can't repay you. I can't reciprocate." So how does that work? That's spiritual life. So both statements are true, that Krishna is unconquerable, but that Krishna is also conquered by love. English language is like this. For example, I'll tell you one statement which is true, and you tell me a famous statement which is also true but completely opposite. Ready? Birds of a feather flock together. Yeah? What's the opposite?
Eagles don't flock.
That's a good try. That was a good try. Birds of a feather flock together. Then in the English language they also say opposites attract. So which one is true? Which one is true? But they're opposite. But they're saying different things. Doesn't matter. Okay, here's another one. Mataji was asking about cooking. Too many cooks spoil the broth. What's the opposite?
Could you say that one pair of eyes is, two pairs of eyes is better than one?
Many hands make light work. So which one is true?
Depending on context, right?
Exactly, yeah. Here's another one. The pen is mightier than the sword. The pen is mightier than the sword. What's the opposite? Actions speak louder than words. Which one is true? Here's another one. Say, for example, I ask you a question, okay? Who comes first? The father or the son? Who's born first? It's not a trick question. The father, obviously. Is your father older than you? Yeah. If you said no, I'd be worried. The father obviously comes before the son. Agreed?
Yeah.
Say yes if you agree.
Yes.
You're all wrong. Because until the son is born, is the father a father? No, he's just a man. But when the son is born, then he becomes a father. So who's born first? The father or the son?
Both.
The son?
Both
at the same time.
Oh.
Even the second one you could say is also untrue because they're born at the same time. So which one? I could say the father is born before the son and is true in one context. I could say the son is born before the father and that's also true in a different context. I could say the son and the father are born together and that's also true. Three completely contradictory statements which are all equally true. Because language is limited. So you don't try to box Krishna within language. Make sense? It's not supposed to make sense because words can't explain. But I'm happy you're satisfied. Any other questions? Yes?
Just on purpose.
Purpose, yeah.
Yeah, purpose. Cause I feel like at the moment I'm on a strong path myself. Just been getting into this realm, into Krishna's consciousness, completely new. But I feel like the purpose that I've heard from whatever source it was to help people undo trauma, mental illness, and just undo, you know, the conditioning of society so they can then get closer to Krishna. Mm-hmm. That's what's come through me. That's what feels right. And it's just... it's for me knowing now, because I am starting to devote myself more to Krishna. I've started doing the chanting Hare Krishna pretty much every day. I do it 3 times a day. I do a few basics, but it's just I'm in that kind of unknown realm now, where I'm like, right, I want to devote time to Krishna, so I'm going to, you know, chant 3 times a day. I'm going to read a page of the book in the morning, read something at night. But then it's like, right, I've got a physical purpose, and this is where I'm getting a little bit blurry.
Yeah.
The physical purpose is to obviously help people through what I've just said. But then it's like, right, do I need to do anything else to kind of devote myself to Krishna? You know, that's kind of the question. It's quite a complex one.
Nice, great. It's a really good question. Thank you. Your name?
Alice.
You see, we are doctors and we're patients as well. We're out there, we're going to go out there and we're going to try and help the world, but we have to also realize that we are also patients. So that means we have to invest in ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to empower ourselves. Right? And when you invest in yourself, then you'll be able to go out there and do more for the people. Say for example, you're on the side of a river and there's a current and people are drowning in that river. Now, unless you're on steady ground, if you go and try and pull them out, you're going to get pulled in yourself. One devotee once said to Prabhupada, I want to go to the nightclub to preach. Prabhupada said, very good, make sure you come back. Because in the midst of helping people, we can also lose our own. So therefore, there should be times in your day when you invest in yourself.
Yeah.
And there should be times in the day when you selflessly give yourself to others.
Yeah.
When we breathe, we don't just breathe in. It's just like... I mean, after some time, you're going to be struggling, yeah?
Yeah.
And we're not just like... after some time, that's also not good.
Yeah.
The rhythm of life is you breathe in and you breathe out. You breathe in and you breathe out.
Yeah.
Breathe in, you breathe out. Right? So that's the rhythm of life.
Yeah.
So be kind to yourself. Charity begins at home. So when we're kind to ourselves and we invest in ourselves, then we become equipped. Srila Prabhupada, before he came to America, what did he do? He spent 6 years in this temple in Vrindavan, India. And he was just studying, he was meditating, he was praying, he was building himself up. And then he came at the age of 69 and he just sparked this revolution because he had become spiritually inspired himself.
Yeah.
So... we are ultimately the best advertisement of what we're trying to preach to the world. So we are, when we're trying to help someone, people are looking at us saying, did it help you?
Yeah.
And if it helped you, then alright. So those are some thoughts. I hope that helps. So yeah, part of your purpose is also to take care of yourself and invest in yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like as well, I've scheduled my full day around everything aligning with the purpose now. I've just done that with like everything in the day aligns to the purpose, and I've realised like the reflecting time, I like to call it, is where I'm out in nature, I'm just going for a walk, and what I'm doing is I'm not really doing anything else other than following the heart, the soul, and then following the voice that's coming through. So I dedicate time to that pretty much every day, but I never used to value that until I seen the value of it and the messages coming through. Because the ultimate purpose for me is to serve Krishna, to serve God, to serve what, you know, it's all one thing to right now at this moment in time, it's to serve that. And it was like, I was trying to get perspective myself on, you know, the ultimate purpose is to do the physical stuff that I've just said, but then to serve Krishna. So anything that kind of serves Krishna is the purpose. That's what I'm almost trying to get clarity on as well.
And that's the other point as well, that you can really help people when you deeply understand what they need. And you can deeply understand what they need when you have the deepest understanding of who they are and what their actual deeper identity is. So you see, like, of course your point is very good, that we have to help people mentally, on a mental level, become somewhat stabilized, so then they can go to a higher, but we have to make sure we get them to that higher point as well. So the more you're connected with your spiritual identity and with Krishna, then you'll be able to give that to others.
So just feel strong, like you connect into that. Reinforce. Thank you.
What's the... Okay.
Kind of adding on that topic of purpose, sometimes, you know, we're talking about your purpose and you're talking about his purpose. How do we deal with discouragement when we're kind of going for our purpose or our mission in life?
Discouragement from other people?
Not discouragement from other... For example, you know, you set out to make a difference to people's lives, and you see that the state of the world and how things are getting worse and worse and worse. So how do you yourself sort of overcome that sort of discouragement, that look, this is the work that I'm doing, but there's still so much to do, there's so much negativity in the world. So how do you deal with that sort of discouragement and negativity?
It depends how you define success. If you define success by a result, then you will feel very discouraged at different times in your life, because you're never in control of the results. But if you define success by fully utilizing all your own energies and efforts in trying to make a difference, then regardless of what the outcome of that is, you will be able to go to sleep at night and say, you know what? I did the best I could. And that will be the ultimate satisfaction. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, he wrote a poem and he said, Krishna, make me a success or a failure as you wish. Now that's interesting. Are you ready to be a failure, at least in terms of result, for Krishna, and be completely satisfied? You can. If you realize that I've done the best I could and everything else is in Krishna's hands. The moment you think, I'm the one moving the results, I'm the one doing it, I'm the one who's like, I'm the game changer here, I'm the change maker, then you're in, not only are you in illusion, but later on you'll be discouraged, because you'll realize you can't change that much actually. But if you become an instrument in the hands of someone higher, then they can do it and you can be an instrument in that plan. And it depends how they want to use you as an instrument. Krishna has a different plan for everyone. It's interesting how people's videos on social media go viral. Have you seen? Like sometimes you see someone who's completely not, like from a material point of view, not very talented at all. And somehow it's like 67 million views or something. And then another person, you think like, wow, this guy's got something good to say to the world. The video's cut in just a nice way and it's all like, the sound is perfect. And it's like 17 views or something. Think, what's happening with this guy, you know? This guy should be big, you know? It's amazing. Krishna has a different plan for everyone. You can't push it. You just have to do the best you can. And Prabhupada just came. He didn't even have a proper strategy. I mean, he just turned up in America and he just sat underneath a tree and he just started chanting Hare Krishna. There was no strategy, there was no business plan, there was no vision, there was no like mission statement, there was no, you know, like project management. You know, what's the critical path on the project? You know, where's the Gantt chart? You know, where are all the managers figuring it all out? There's nothing. He just came, he sat on, he didn't even have a mridanga, he had a bongo. I mean, it wasn't even organized, we didn't have a mridanga, it was just a bongo. There's Prabhupada playing on his bongo. We're going to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Under a tree on a bongo. I mean, someone could have thought like, I don't think, you know, he's got big ambitions. 11 years later, boom, Hare Krishna, household word. How's it possible? That's amazing. Because he just said, I'm a servant, I'm an instrument. And Krishna, you can do whatever you want. Make me a success or failure. I have no ego. I have no attachment. I have no expectation. Then you can do it. So then you'll never be discouraged. Everywhere Prabhupada was discouraged. Prabhupada said, they call me Prabhupada, but factually, I'm problem pad. Because people just keep coming to me with problems. Discouraging, problem, this difficulty. But Prabhupada just kept going. It's so easy to become discouraged in life. We have to just be an instrument. Krishna's moving everything. Try. Does that help? I like your kurta, by the way. Hang around the cows, you know? Yeah, they say if you're around the cows, your stress level goes down. Nowadays in the world, you have to pay £500 to hug a cow. You know that? It's called cow hugging therapy. Come to the manor, you can do it for free. Keep a calm head. Once there was a lady reporter, she came to Prabhupada and she said, Swamiji, why do you shave your head? So Prabhupada looked back at her and he said, why do you shave your legs? I mean, she wasn't expecting that one, you know, from the Swami. So you could see she was a bit taken aback. So Prabhupada, you know what he said? He said, we prefer warm legs and a cool head. You need a cool head for spiritual life. Keep a cool head. It's a long life, you know? sometimes we think we have to achieve everything in our life in 1 or 2 years, and if it's not happening, oh my God, it's a long life. You know, Prabhupada said in his biography, a lifetime in preparation. It wasn't just like, oh, Prabhupada just came and he just did it. Many years of preparation, many years of going deep, many years of prayer, many years of empowerment, and then he could come and just do it. So therefore, like we were saying to Alice, it's like you have to invest in yourself. Then you'll never be discouraged. Yeah, you're all young. You can make such a difference. I'm also young. But getting a bit older now. And we've been given something by which we can change the world. So if you go out and you try and change the world, you'll think, well, who am I? I'm just a small person. How I will change the world? But you can. You can change someone's life. What you're equipped with is so profound, is so deep, that if you go out and try and share it with people, you'll change people's lives. It's amazing. You can change someone's life. That's amazing. Tomorrow, if you go out into town center and you give someone a book, you're not just selling a book. You can change someone's life. That's amazing. What could be a better use of your life than that? To be able to actually do something good for others. They say, don't live a life in which you just have many things to show people. Live a life in which you'll have many stories to tell people. When you're 70, will you have many things to show people? Or will you have many stories to tell people? What will be more exciting when you're 70 is not to show people all the things, but to tell people all the amazing things that happened to you, the stories. And in Krishna consciousness, I can tell you, every day is like a story. This movement, I don't know how to describe it, but amazing things happen. It's a miraculous movement. It's amazing the things that happen. I'll tell you one book distribution story. Maybe some of you have heard it, but once I was in Leicester and I got 20 missed calls on my phone from a number that I didn't. So I thought, someone calls you 20 times, it means it must be important. So I called back, but the person didn't answer. So you know what I did? I kept it in my phone as A, the first number on my, and I thought I'll call him later on, or whoever it is. But then 1 year passed and I never called that number again. After 1 year, I was getting ready to go on book distribution to a town I've never been to. And while I was moving my phone, it accidentally started ringing on that number. So when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's that number from 1 year ago. It was ringing. I thought that was 1 year ago. That's past now. So I just put it down. Anyway, then I went to Banbury, near Oxford, to distribute books. Halfway through the day, I stopped this one guy and he's like, wow, I'm into this. He took every book. He walked off and then he came back to me and he said, you know what? It's so funny I should meet you today. Because this morning a Hare Krishna phoned me. So I said, who is it? Maybe I know them. He pulls out his phone, he goes, I don't remember, he's flicking through, he goes, Sutapa. You know who that is? That was my name. I go, that's me. He goes, what do you mean that's you? And then I remembered, oh my God, that number I called in the morning. So then I pulled out my phone number and said, 0787, is that your number? He goes, how do you know my number? I said, you called me, how do you know my number? And then what basically had happened is, 1 year ago, he was looking for books on spiritual knowledge. So he had a friend who knew me. And his friend told him, if you call this monk, he'll be able to give you the books. That was 1 year back. He called me 20 times. He goes, I called you 20 times. I go, yeah, I tried to call you back, but he didn't answer. 1 year back, he calls me. Can you imagine? 1 year later, I accidentally call that same person. I go to a town I've never been to before. And out of all of the thousands of people I could have met, I meet that very person. Just chance, right? These are the things that happen. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are going on even today. But only the very fortunate person can see. So like Ellis was saying, if we reach out to try and help others, then life becomes so magical. That's the kind of life we want to live.
We actually have one more, but I think time's running out, unfortunately.
That's fine.
So,
just a note.
So can we just say thank you to Keshav Maharaj, three laps.